Welcome to Opus Here. My name is Greg Horn. Have you ever been sexually abused mentally, emotionally as a child, and there's just pain in your heart that maybe you've just kind of suppressed, and you know that there's something there, but you're just not sure? Well, you came to the right place today. We are talking with Rick Huttner. He is the author of Resilient People. He shares about his own personal journey from child abuse to healing and love. Yesterday he shared about all he went through, just some traumatic things, mentally, emotionally, and sexual abuse that he suffered as a child, and it was really powerful. I want to encourage you, if you know somebody or if you've been through this, to go back and listen to our podcast. It was a 14-minute program yesterday. You can listen to those at your convenience at hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. So, Rick, we shared that after, you know, just all the things you went through in your childhood, with the mental, emotional, and sexual abuse, you started using alcohol to numb the pain and got through high school and things, but obviously just made it really tough academically to be able to be in a serious relationship with some really nice women from your church. You would bail because you just emotionally were not able to do that. When did you finally get to a point where you're like, you know what, I've got to get some help for this pain that's in my heart from all these years of abuse as a child?
Well, I took a job with a national company, and it was just sold by the owner to this national company, and it was they brought in their own president, and it was amazing. The company made money. There was so many things, just so many problems, and I aligned with the new president of the company. We cleaned up a lot, and I for 6 months. I worked every 6 days a week and a couple hours on Sunday sometimes and nights until we got it all straightened out. And when I got it all straightened out, it was working really well. That old demon came back and said, "Well, I'm going to go celebrate. I'm going to go have a drink at lunch today." And that happened a little more and a little more and a little more. And the assistant controller there is a lady I hired. I knew her from when I was an auditor, and she didn't have a degree, but she was very talented, and I hired her. And she came in one day, and she said, "Rick, I got to talk to you." I said, "Well, okay, Rosie, whatever you need." And she came in, closed the door, sat down, and said, "Rick, you've given me more opportunities than anybody ever has, and I appreciate that, but I'm not coming for you anymore. You got to clean up your life. Your life is just going downhill." And she got up and left, and I was like, I was indignant. I went through all that routine people do when they're emotionally unstable and didn't think much about it. And next day, the president called me in. He said, "Rick, I need you to come to my office." I went in. He said, "Close the door." Close the door, and I said, "What do you need, Jim?" He says, "Rick, you're probably one of the best financial people I ever worked with, but your life's in the toilet. And you got to clean it up, because I'm not going to let you continue here if you don't." I said, "That it?" He said, "That's it." And I said, I called up my best friend, and I said, "I got to meet you for a drink. You won't believe this." So he met me down at this place, and I'm having a drink, and he comes in, and I tell him everything that happened. And he said, "Rick, I'm probably your best friend, aren't I?" I said, "You are." He said, "They're right. You need help. You're going down a path that is going to wind up nowhere good." So he recommended therapy, and I respected him a lot. I got into therapy, and I went in private therapy first, and then in group therapy. And one of the things they worked on was you've got to eliminate the alcohol. We're not saying you can't have a drink in the future, but you got to get it out of your head right now, and you need a clean head and a clean heart. And that's where I learned about the abuse from my mother, and that's when those dreams ended. So I thought that was it, and I went on with my life, but I never dealt with the sexual abuse until much later. And that just had a damaging effect on my life, because I couldn't hold a good relationship. I mean, along with the sexual abuse, this man was showing me pornographic movies that were just horrific, and no way a woman would want to be treated that way unless they were severely damaged. And so I couldn't form a good relationship because I never understood how. And but ultimately, I got married again, and fortunately, my wife and I worked on these things. We got in therapy, and we've been married 35 years right now. And she brought three children to the marriage. I brought a daughter. We're a very, very close family, and there's a tremendous amount of love. But I had to heal that part within me. And part of that healing was coming back to the love of the divine. And I'm still reticent to say the word God because of my upbringing, but I know there is a divine presence in this life, and I know Jesus Christ is in my life. And, you know, I read the Gospels, and I love the teachings. So I know that there... Here's one other thing that's interesting. I was driving in Houston one day, and actually I was in a passenger seat, and I was absolutely depressed, and this huge truck came up alongside us. And I looked at the back of it, and it was a sign on it that said, "All will be well." I looked away, and I looked back, and it was gone. I believe that was God speaking to me, because it carried me through that day. And then I met Beulah Clay Edmonds. And Beulah Clay Edmonds was a circuit minister up on the Missouri-Arkansas border, a little church called Oak Hill Church, held maybe 50 people. And I went up to visit a friend of mine who moved there, and his wife said, "We're going to church today." And I said, "I don't know about that." And she didn't take no for an answer really well. So I went to church. I met this tiny little 93-year-old lady, Beulah Clay Edmonds. And she had a sparkle in her eye and greeted me. And when we got going, you know, there's like a Pentecostal service. There's a lot of praying before. And then she's going to start, and she's, "Rick, I don't have a Sunday school teacher today, so you're going to teach Sunday school." I said, "I don't know if that's a good idea." She's, "Well, I believe it's a good idea. Now, here's the manual. Go take these children and do it." And I went, man. Now, I knew a lot about Bible stories because I went through catechism. I went through all of that. But I was looking at these children, and their eyes were so bright and looking at me, and I never looked in people's eyes. I think there was a deep level of shame that hung in there. And I did it, and the kids were fabulous. And I just got out of there feeling really good. And then I got to know Beulah, and I'd come up and visit more. And this woman had a faith that was beyond anything I had ever known. If she felt called to go somewhere, she didn't check her wallet. She didn't make reservations. She just went and always knew she would be provided for. And her husband, Pate, would go with her. She was also a midwife. She birthed over 1,000 kids in that area. And I fell in love with this woman's heart and soul. And she helped me heal and brought me back to the love of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and how blessed I feel right now. Absolutely blessed.
I love when you shared that in your book. I was reading that story, and you said, you know, here's this small, petite woman that just had such tremendous faith. And you said, you know, she just didn't think things would happen. She knew it would happen, and that amazed me. So it's, I think, just incredible how God uses people all shapes and sizes. But one person just having tremendous faith can have a ripple effect into a lot of other people's lives, can't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she was just an incredible gift, an incredible gift. And to this day, she's passed away, but I love this woman dearly. And she, to me, exemplifies the love and the wonder of Jesus Christ.
Well, the big thing that I took, too, out of your page 92 of your book, where you concluded about her, you said, you know, after being with her, she brought you, as you shared about believing that God and that he was a good God, and getting to have a personal relationship with Jesus, you said, "I began to have hope that there was a power beyond myself, and I wanted more of it. And so you continue to kind of deal with your faith and look at those type of things. And, you know, it's amazing. I love how God continues to pursue us. And obviously, I'd say that was probably the last place you expected it, because your image of a Pentecostal church at the time, and here in Kentucky, we talk about that a lot. There's a lot of good ones, but you thought they were going to be holding snakes and speaking in tongues and things. And, you know, and God speaks in different ways. But, man, he showed up in a powerful way at that place, didn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Beulah did was speaking in tongues, and I was going, whoa. But her heart, the joy and love that came through her, the love of God and of Jesus, was incredible. It just permeated the room. And my heart helped my heart open.
Rick, tell us a little bit about Resilient People. Why did you found, you're the founder of that. Why did you start that? And just tell us a little bit about what you do with Resilient People.
Well, as I really worked on healing, I finally started to believe I could heal. And as that took hold, and I really started doing, I wrote constantly. I wrote because I needed to get the thoughts that were buried in my mind out into the light. So here's what I know about fears. Fears become demons when we reject them and push them away. And the more we push them into a subconscious mind, the more damage they will do. I started thinking about it. I hung a sign in my office door, what am I thinking? And I kept the journal. I was stunned how many negative thoughts went through my mind, not just every day or every hour, but every minute. And I started writing them down and welcoming them into the light. And as you said earlier, when light is shown on darkness, the darkness goes away. And I just did I spent a lot of time in prayer and meditation and not allowing fear to run my decisions. And I did that for most of my life. And by releasing the fear and welcoming any thought, I could look at that thought and go, I don't want that thought. I'm not going to entertain that. I'm going to let that thought move on. I'm going to fill that space with wonder and beauty. And slowly but surely, that's what entered my life, is wonder and beauty. And, you know, I'm very blessed, Greg. I'm very, very blessed. And I give thanks for that every day. It's one of the reasons I like speaking at faith communities, because there are people there willing to be helped and wanting to be helped. So have I answered your question? Or?
Oh, yeah, that was tremendous. That was great. Well, we're out of time for today's program, but stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Rick Huttner. He is the author of a book called Resilient People. It's a journey from childhood abuse to healing and love, which provides hope. I want to encourage you to check out his website. It's resilientpeople.us. It's resilientpeople.us. Stay with us tomorrow, because we're going to continue talking to Rick about how he got his healing and how you can be healthy and whole and have hope after suffering from childhood abuse, whether it's mental, emotional, or sexual. So tune in tomorrow. Tell a friend to join us as we continue our conversation with Rick Huttner, the author of Resilient People on Hope Is Here.
To go to the next level, you have to change the way that you think. There is way more inside of you than you can imagine.
Everyone has influence. Come to the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th and learn skills to help you lead transformation. The summit features high-impact leaders like Craig Groeschel, Angela Ahrens, T.D. Jakes, and more. Experience the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th. Register today at willowcreek.com/summit or call 800-570-9812 and use the priority code RADIO.
Local host site in Central Kentucky is Lex City Church. Check them out online at lexcity.church.